This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 7th chapter and the 7th verse of the book of Judges, looking at this one aspect of Gideon's life. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand." It had been 47 years since Deborah had sung her song of deliverance over the enemies of God. 47 years since God destroyed Sisera and his army with 900 chariots of iron, delivering the children of Israel through Deborah from the oppression by the king of Hazor, Jabin. For 40 years that Deborah lived, after the victory, the people walked in the fear of the Lord. They kept the commandments of God, and God blessed Israel, and they prospered. But with the death of Deborah came a national apostasy as the people again began to worship Baal and the other pagan gods, and they lapsed again into idolatry. And because they forsook the true and the living God, God again forsook them. And the Midianites invaded the land, along with the Amalekites and multitudes of people from the east. The Midianites and the Amalekites were both of them nomadic type of people. They did not build cities, but they lived in tents and roamed from area to area. They had now roamed on into the land of Palestine, and because of their numbers had more or less taken over the land. The scripture said they were like grasshoppers covering the earth. And that is a very apt and fit description of the Midianites and the Amalekites, because they were like grasshoppers that devoured everything before them, and behind them they left nothing but desolation. They had now come into the land. They had moved in with their tents. They had moved in with all of their camels. They came in with all of their baggage. They came in to really inhabit and take over the land, which they did. And whenever the children of Israel would sow their seed, then the Midianites by force would take away their crops from them. They had taken away their cattle. They had taken away their sheep. And they had sadly oppressed the people of God, until they again cried unto God by reason of the oppression. And the angel of the Lord was sent to Gideon while he was threshing his father's wheat in a cave, hiding from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, "I want you to go in this your might and deliver God's people from the hand of the Midianites." And so Gideon blew the trumpet in Israel. He sent messengers out to the various tribes, and 32,000 men responded from the tribes to the call of Gideon to fight against the Midianites, a pitifully small number in comparison with the number of Midianites, who numbered into the hundreds of thousands. And when God saw that only 32,000 had responded to Gideon, he said, "Gideon, the men that are with you are too many. If I should deliver the Midianites into the hands of the 32,000, they would vaunt themselves. They would glory in what they had done." And God began the thinning process, in order that he might pare down the troops, in order that he might get men that he could use for his glory to do his work. And so we see that God disqualified the majority of Gideon's army. And the reasons for disqualification were basically two. God said to Gideon, "Gideon, go out and speak to the men. And tell all of those that are fearful and trembling that they may go home." And over two-thirds of Gideon's army deserted. 22,000 of them turned and went home. You can hardly blame them. After all, right out there in front of them, in that valley of Jezreel, between Gilboa and Mount Moreh, there were over 135,000 of the Midianites right in that one valley. And so, looking at the enemy, fear gripped their hearts. Usually, fear is born by looking at our problems, looking at the enemy, looking at the power of the enemy, and getting our eyes upon our problems and our enemies often inspires fear. The Lord said, "If you're afraid, go home." Because he knew that men of fear are apt in the midst of battle to break ranks and run, and fear is then contagious. And others might turn and run also. And so the first thing that God used as a disqualification for service in the battle was fear and trembling. Trembling is a sign of weakness. And God did not want any weak people to go into battle. Now, let us make this note that we're not talking about salvation at this point. We are talking about engaging in this spiritual warfare. Surely the door is open to all men to be saved, and those that are fearful and trembling may find salvation through Jesus Christ. But those who gain real victory, those who enter into the victory over the enemy, are those who are lacking in fear and who are not trembling. God saw the 10,000 that remained with Gideon, and he said, "Gideon, the men that are with you are still too many. Take them to the stream that comes from the spring of Harod and let them get a drink of water. And observe how they drink. And all of those who get down on their knees and put their face in the water, they're disqualified. Watch the men, and those who pick up the water in their hand and lap it out of their hand, by these I will deliver the enemy unto you." Gideon took them to the stream of Harod. And he watched them as 9,700 of them put their faces down in the water to drink, and only 300 picked it up in their hands and lapped it out of their hands. And here is where our text comes in, verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand." God wanted men who were alert and aware of the sense of urgency of this battle. Men who realize that we are in a conflict. We're surrounded by the enemy. Men who were alert to the dangers that they were facing. Men who had that sense of urgency. There are people today that don't even seem to realize that we're in a battle. That the forces of the enemy are very strong and they threaten to destroy us. And they go on in the cares of life and even the necessities of life as though there was no war going on at all. They seem to feel no urgency to pray. They seem to feel no urgency to strengthen themselves in the Word of God. God is sort of on a take it or leave it basis. If it's convenient, we'll go. If it's not convenient, well, we'll pass it up until next time. And they have no sense of urgency about the days in which we live. They don't feel an urgency to get the gospel out into all the world. They feel no urgency towards missions or mission projects. It's sort of business as usual. What kind of man, what kind of men is God seeking today? God was seeking then and seeking now men who are fearless and strong. The fearlessness is born of faith. And the faith is the result of keeping your eyes upon God. You know, it's an interesting thing. If you keep your mind and your eyes upon the Lord, faith builds within your heart. For you see more in the power of God to deliver than you do see in the hand of the enemy to destroy. You realize with Paul, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, so much of our time, we are looking at our problems. And we get so into our problems and so involved in our problems. But there's an interesting thing about problems. The more you look at them, the bigger they grow and the more impossible the situation becomes until fear grips your heart and you're incapable of doing anything about it. Whereas, on the other hand, the more you look at God and realize His power and His ability, then the smaller your problems become. You realize that it's nothing for God to handle this. God is able to take care of this. And so they are men of faith who are fearless because their eyes are upon God and they see the power of God to deliver and set free. Peter, how we love to use him as an example. And in years to come, they'll probably love to use me as an example too. But he was one of those kind of guys that left a lot of interesting examples because he blundered a lot, as we all blunder a lot. And you remember when the disciples were in the ship and the storm was beating against the ship and they were rowing hard against the wind, getting nowhere. When Jesus came walking to them on the water, and they yelled because they thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said, I'm not a ghost, I'm Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, well, come on. And Peter, you remember, started walking on the water until he looked at the waves. And when he saw the waves, he began to sink. He thought, what am I doing here? Look at that one's about ready to crash on me. And he started to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And Peter said, what happened to your faith, Peter? What happened to his faith? He got his eyes on the waves, on the problem, on the situation. He got his eyes off of the Lord. As long as you keep your eyes on the Lord, hey, you can walk on water. You can walk right over the top of your problems. It's only when we get so involved in the problems themselves, talking about our problems, thinking about our problems, looking at our problems, that they grow so big that we then become fearful and we think, oh, it can never happen. It will never happen. There's no sense of even trying or hoping anymore. It just will never come to pass. You've got your eyes on the wrong thing. God is looking for men who are fearless, men that are strong, men who are fearless because of that faith that they have in the power of God to deliver and to set free. God is also looking for men who are aware and alert to the war that they are in. Men who, even when involved in the necessities of life, working on the job, drinking water or whatever, are always aware of the larger issues, the spiritual battle in which we are all engaged. Men who have a sense of urgency about this day and age. You see, I think one of the greatest problems of the church today is that we are living in very desperate days, but the church isn't desperate. So many times the churches are more interested in how much money they can raise from their next bazaar than they are that our children in high school will soon be getting prophylactics issued by the state with instructions on how to use them. They don't seem to realize we're in a warfare to capture the minds and the hearts of your children. This is a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and these wicked spiritual forces that are in high places of government and power and are seeking to force upon us intolerable situations for us who are interested in righteousness and purity and interested in our children and their welfare. We're in a battle. We're in a war. The enemy is strong. The enemy can overpower us if we try in ourselves, but we've got to keep our eyes upon the Lord, and we have to keep that sense of urgency, knowing that we're in a battle. Too many people have their face in the water. Their heads are in the sand. We're not really aware of what's happening in this world in which we live. I'm fully aware that a sermon such as this is apt to thin the ranks. God often thins the ranks. And I'm sure that a lot of you say, hey, I came today to escape the problems of the world, not to hear about them. I want to hear how wonderful everything is, and all I have to do is think the right way, and everything's going to work out okay. And you keep preaching like this, I won't even come back Christmas. Your head's in the sand. You really have no sense of the realities of life. We are in a real life and death struggle against sin, against the powers of darkness. And it's only as we keep our eyes upon the Lord and as we go forth in His strength and power that we will be able to survive in this world, or that this world will survive at all. I find in this story of Gideon that the misgivings of Gideon are rather amusing and yet important. He was apprehensive about this whole thing. When the angel first visited him and said, go, thou mighty man of valor, and deliver, the children of Israel. He said, wait a minute, check your instructions there, would you? You've got the wrong address, man. I'm Gideon. And my dad's one of the least families in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my dad's household. The angel said, you're the one. God is calling you. And so after the angel told him, he said, would you mind I like to make sure that I don't want you to be putting me on, man. Is this really real? Wait here and let me go get a present for you. And he went in and he fixed a little goat and some unleavened bread, cakes, and some broth, and he brought it out. And the angel said, set it there on a rock. And he set it on the rock, and the angel took his staff and touched the rock, and fire came up from the rock and devoured the goat and the unleavened bread, and the angel disappeared. And Gideon said, ooh, it was real, you know. I've seen the Lord, you know, the angel of the Lord. And then when Gideon called then the men to battle, and only 32,000 showed up, he said, Lord, are you sure that you'll deliver the Midianites to these guys? How about it, Lord, just to make sure, tonight I'll put a piece of wool out on the ground, and if in the morning the wool is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll know that you do intend to deliver the Midianites. The next morning when he went out and the piece of wool was, he wrang water out of the wool and the ground was all dry around it. He thought, maybe there's some kind of a phenomenon here that I'm not aware of. Maybe wool gathers moisture in the night. And, Lord, let's do it again and let's reverse it. Tonight when I put the wool out, in the morning, let the ground be wet and the wool be dry. And the next morning when he went out and the ground was wet and the wool was dry, he said, I guess so. Then when God thinned down the ranks from 32,000 to just 300, he said, Lord, are you sure? And the Lord said, look, Gideon, if you're still apprehensive about this, go down to the tents of the Midianites and just stand outside and eavesdrop on them. And so Gideon went down to the tents of the Midianites. And as he stood outside of the tent, he heard one of the guys telling his dream. I had this weird dream. There was this barley cake that came rolling into the camp, you know, and it destroyed things and all. And the fellow interpreted the dream, and he said, that's Gideon and his men, and God has delivered Midian into their hands. And so Gideon went back and then fitted the man for battle. He was apprehensive. Now, I believe that it is important that we not just venture out in our own ideas, in our own strength, with our own strategies. But I think that it is important in this battle that we have the mind of the Lord and that we know that we have the mind of the Lord. The battle is too strategic for us to just go out in our own endeavors or strength or energies. Just seeing that there's a problem here. Well, let's solve this problem. Let's get together and work out a plan, a workable program whereby the church can meet the needs of the community. You can be destroyed if God's not in it. We've got to make sure that we're led of God. And I see no problem in making sure that God is in the program. There are important lessons that I have learned from this story. The first one is, never worry when God thins out the ranks. And I might just pass this on to young ministers that may be listening to this tape in the future. And maybe you're in a church and rather than growing, it's been decreasing. Maybe you're experiencing what we experienced in the earlier years of our ministry when we went into a church of 25 people, and after 2 years of hard labor, we had 17. God thinned the ranks. Never worry when God thins the ranks. God often has to thin the ranks. He has to subtract before he can multiply, before he can get those through which he can really do his work. And a lot of times, The larger numbers have excess baggage. There are those that are fearful. There are those that are weak. There are those who have no sense of urgency concerning the battle. And God wants to pare down the troops until he has men that he can use. I've learned to keep my eyes upon God rather than on my problems. Not to get all caught up in the problem itself, but just keep my eyes upon God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I have learned to keep a constant alert, even when I'm engaged in just the plain necessities of life. And let me say that I believe that recreation is one of the necessities of life. Drinking is a necessity of water, is a necessity of life. But even when engaged in these necessities, working is a necessity of life. But engaged in these, I'm always alert and aware that I'm in a spiritual battle. And the major issues are of a spiritual nature. I've learned from this story to make sure that I am in the will of God. That God is behind what I seek to do. And I've learned from this story to give all of the glory to God for whatever victories may come. For whatever good may come, for whatever deliverance might come from the battle, give the glory to God. Don't touch that which belongs to God. Don't vaunt in what we have done. Don't develop success seminars and sell the program, but just to give glory to God for what he has wrought. And I've learned that if I do this, God will continue to use me in this battle. Shall we pray? Father, help us to learn the lessons today, to learn them well, that we, O God, might be used in your warfare against the powers of darkness that threaten to undo us. Lord, we pray that you'll help us this day to go forth in faith as we fearlessly face the odds stacked so high against us, with no concern, knowing that if God be for us, no man can stand against us. And thus, Lord, may we become men, women, that can be used by God in the accomplishing of his purposes and his will. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord be with you, guide and bless you through the week, and give you a beautiful week of thanksgiving, giving praise unto God always for his goodness and his blessings to us. And may you just experience his presence and his power as you walk with him. And may God prepare our lives that we might enter into this battle, that we might come forth victorious through the power of his Spirit to the glory of Jesus Christ.